This week every year is very significant. It's a time we just want to remember our journey, remember where we started from, and to remember everything God has been to us all the way. And I want to welcome you, because in 14 years, it's going to be exactly 14 years this Wednesday, the 23rd of January, that Love Assembly started as a church, a local assembly in Liverpool. 14 years ago, 23rd of January was a Sunday, and there was the first public meeting. And I'll tell you something, in all sincerity, because at times you only need to look backwards. And when you look backwards, do you know what you see? You see the goodness and the mercies of God that has been following you. And as a church, I can fully testify that we've seen the word of God come to pass many, many times. We've seen trickles of the vision of what God is doing in his church. We've seen people literally from every continent being part of this journey over the last 14 years. Please repeat with me. I did tell us to repeat this last week so that we can bring to our remembrance. Please just say after me, Love Assembly vision is to see people from all nations discipled into the unity of the faith and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We began to meditate on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 at the start of this year, a word given to us first day of last year's retreat. And we saw something that God began to do from the beginning. Now, you have to understand that the beginning is not always like the ending. The beginning does not look like the ending. Just think about the beginning of your life. You are not where you were from the beginning. Please tell somebody, this is not what you look like on day one. 50 years ago. Just tell them, how many years? That's not what you used to look like. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't clear. There was darkness. There was emptiness. But the Spirit of God was moving. But things began to happen when God began to speak. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And when you look at Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 till the end, you will see how God was not in a hurry. He wasn't in a hurry at all to create or recreate the earth that was without form and void. He spoke literally every single time. And after he finished speaking, the Bible will say, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Let me share something with someone. Maybe somebody needs to just hear this. You see, God's day is not like 24 hours, like ours. The Bible gives us a clue about one day with the Lord. It says like 1,000 years. But let me tell you how God operates, and you can study that principle from Genesis chapter 1. God does not move on to the second day until he accomplishes and completes what he planned to do on the first day. What determines day number two is that God finished his work that he meant for day number one. Please tell somebody you can't rush God, even if you are from Russia. Probably if I said this 14 years ago, one or two people might be offended, because I remembered in the very first service we had on Smithdown Road, it was a place called Fountain Cafe. There were 13 of us that day on the first Sunday, 23rd January 2005. There were two Russians in the congregation that day. And If I said this, what I just said, I probably would be offended. But please tell somebody, thank God you are not a Russian. Somebody's offended now. And we began to see and watch God was doing. And let me just say that again. When God finishes what he planned to do in day number one, that's when he moves on to day number two. You cannot rush God. So please tell somebody again, be patient. After you have done the will of God, you have need of patience. Amen. All right. Keys for Breakthrough is the theme for January 2019. And I'm moving on straight to the word that God wants us to hear today. First of all, let me read Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1 to 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. The Bible says in verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you ate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who was an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Ephesians, we'll go to the next scripture, which is Ephesians chapter 3, and I read from verse 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14 to 21. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Ephesians chapter 3, I read verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all what than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
All right, let's read one more scripture, 1 John chapter 4, from verse 20 to 21. 1 John. Not John chapter 1, but 1 John chapter 4, from verse 20 to 21. 1 John 4, 20 to 21. Again, I read from the New King James Version. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Please tell somebody that's not you. If you are sitting beside a sister, it says brother, so it can't be you. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And verse 21, and this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Please tell someone again. Please don't be tired. Right? Tell them. Can you see you have no choice now? You got to love me. Please, if you are talking to them and they are not looking at you, just tap them. Tap them. I'm talking to you. You got to love me. Amen. I just want to share with us today what was laid on my heart. It's a 14th year anniversary message. Please don't miss next Sunday. We're crowning it up next Sunday. So we're taking this whole week to reflect, to be thankful, to be grateful. But let's hear what God is saying, because we're going to hear another word and message that God will bring to us next Sunday. We'll crown it up next Sunday, so you don't want to miss next Sunday to hear what God is saying to us at this season. Please, at this time, can I just encourage that we keep our families intact, keep the children still as much as possible. This is a family meeting. We're having family meetings throughout this month of January. And from February, the children will break into their several Sunday school. So this word is for everyone. So please, let's just try and be still. Right. Keys for breakthrough. And if we're moving with that theme of keys for breakthrough, there are three keys we see in Revelation chapter 2 from verse 2 to 5. Key number one is remember. Please repeat after me. Just say remember. I don't know. I feel like teaching today. Because that's all we used to do 14 years ago. Just come, teach, go. Teach, go. We were 12. Was it 12? 13? On the first day, 14 years ago. And the beautiful thing is that the following Sunday, the church grew from 13 to about 8. And then the following Sunday, maybe 13 people showed up again. And then it was fluctuating like that. And I can remember that 2 years. What I'm doing now is I'm focusing on remember. Okay? Please, somebody say remember. Remember. All right? So let's stay on remember. So I'm remembering some things because the journey has been long and some of us are pretty much new. So just flow with me. Just flow with me. That's all we used to do. We come, we hear the word, we pray, and we go. Here in Revelation chapter 2, from verse 2 to 5, there is something here that the Spirit of God was saying to the church at Ephesus. And we read that scripture from Ephesus. That child crying is reminding me of Joshua. That's what Joshua used to do 14 years ago. The moment I start teaching, he starts crying. Joshua, come. That's Joshua now. He doesn't cry anymore. Say hello to the people.
Hello.
14 years ago, he was just a baby. When we were starting, and he used to be in his pram, and then, what's that, car seat? We put the car seat on the floor, and the moment daddy starts teaching, he starts crying and screaming. Glory be to God. So if your child is crying today, congratulations, there's hope for you. In 14 years' time. Now, there's something key here. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, God was speaking to this church and was reminding this church of, number one, the good things the church was doing and accomplishing. God enumerated these good things. He says, I know your labor. I know your works. I know your toil. I know how you are patient and patiently enduring. I know how you cannot withstand evil. I know how you have, you know, forsaken false doctrine and you will not even accept false apostles. He says, I know that you have not even grown weary doing the things you're doing. But verse 4, somebody said, but I have something against you. He says, you have left your first love. You have left your first love. I want to believe that what God wants us to focus on throughout this week is to remember some things at first. Remember our beginning. Let's not be carried away with works. Let's be focused on what God is saying here. First love. First love. You see, it's a different thing when you're doing things and people can acknowledge and clap for you that, yeah, you did this, you did that, you did that, you accomplished that. But what God sees is not just the act. God sees the heart behind the acts. And if God will begin to reward, it's the heart, the motive, the intent that God always rewards. So let's not be carried away. Oh yeah, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Like a man said one time, I used to know this man, he got angry and he was having a row with his wife and his children and he literally turned his family upside down. And he was saying, what else do they want from me? I work my head off, work my socks off. I provide food for them. I give them everything. There's nothing they lack. What else do they want from me? The man was very angry. The man worked hard. The man was very successful, but he didn't have a happy home. He was great at his profession, but he wasn't a good father. He wasn't a good husband. What shall it profit a man? Let me tell us one of the things, my own greatest fear, and I always bring myself to that remembrance. What will it profit me to win souls for Christ, do great exploits outside my home, and lose my home, lose my children, and my children reject this gospel that I'm preaching? One of the things I'm just grateful and thankful for is that 14 years ago, my two sons were not saved. They didn't know the Lord. We were just dragging them to church. But 14 years after, to the glory of God, individually, personally, they have not walked away from the church. They have not walked away from home. But most importantly, they've not walked away from Christ. The two of them today are personally born again. Now, how do I know? It's not because I live with them. It's the testimony I hear about them outside. What will it profit me if I preach to nations and I lose my sons or lose my wife and I'm a useless man outside? I mean, I'm a good man outside, but useless man inside. You see, it's the inside that God is always looking for. Remember your first love. Now, he says, I have something against you. You have abandoned your first love. You know, there's this crazy thing now that's happening. I call it crazy because I was seeing another dimension to it, and I don't want to be, anyway, that's not the gospel, so let me leave it. You know what is happening now on social media? 10-year challenge. 10 years. So the idea is that you remember what you look like 10 years ago. And then you put your picture with what you look like 10 years after. 10-year challenge. Somebody say, remember. Okay. Now, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. Can you cast your mind back right now to where you were 10 years ago? Let me give us a moment. What you were like 10 years ago. So let's do the calculation. 2009. Can you cast your mind back? Subtract 10 years from your life. Who can remember where? Who can just see in a flash where they were 10 years ago? Okay. There's something I want to do by the Spirit of God. We're not doing our own 10-year challenge. The church is 14 years. But there's something that God just wants us to see visually. And I'll quickly summarize what God is saying to us. Right. Some people, I'm going to ask them to step out now. And please, as you're stepping out, just be praying and be thinking and be meditating. Right? 10 years ago was 2009. Is that correct? All right, but I want to go back to 2008. Or let me just, okay, let's go back 14 years. All right? Okay. Please, where are Noah and Joshua, can you come out? Please come out. How I wish Lamide was here. All right? Okay. Now, this is 14-year challenge. Okay? No, just stay by that side there. So this was Love Assembly 14 years ago. The four of us. Just the four of us in our living room. Lamide is not here. God strengthened her. She couldn't make it. Let's just pray for her right now. Lord, we just ask for healing for the family, for Lamide, for your Bami and Ella. We send your word of healing to them right now. In the name of Jesus. If you are watching from home, you are healed. Ayobami, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right. Okay. Lamide was with us on that 23rd of January 2005. Okay. So please, I'm going to start calling now. This is Love Assembly 14 years ago. All right. Just four of us. These guys were not this high. So just imagine that one there and this one. All right. So let's move on. If you joined or attended Love Assembly in 2006, please come. I'm going to be calling the years, so please think. 2006, you attended Love Assembly, you joined Love Assembly, or you just attended and then maybe you joined later. 2007, 10-year challenge. 2007. Yeah. Yeah, Severa, please, somebody help Severa. Severa has been with us all the way. Please celebrate Severa, please. Yeah, okay. 2008. Please just be praying as you're coming. Yeah, the Patricks, I know the day you entered. They got into the church the first day before everybody. The doors were locked. All right, 2009. Yeah, you were born. Or you joined 2009. Come. That was our baby. We were having a retreat when she was born. I remembered. Where's your husband? Okay. All right. That's true. Because you came first. And then your husband came after. The day you came, your husband was at home. Thank God he's not at home now. No. Don't bring that baby. That baby wasn't here in 2009. Come on. Take the baby back. Take the baby back, brother. Okay. Bring the baby. Let's imagine. She was in the loins of Abraham then. Okay. 2010. Come here. When were you born? 2007. So you should have come quickly. All right. 2010. Born or joined. 2011. Born or joined. Just be coming. 2000 and... Where was I now? I'm in 2012 now. 2012, born or joined Love Assembly. Glory be to God. 2000 and, where am I now? 13. How far have I gone? 2013. Please come. 2000 and where's your wife? I knew your wife first. Your wife was with us in that basement first, the first time she came, and then she brought you and said she wanted to marry you. 2000 and where did I stop?
13.
Okay, I want to stop at 2015. Okay. 2014? Yeah. 2014. And then 2015. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Okay? Right? When was she born? 2014. Okay. Which baby did you... One was born when you joined. Okay, she was the one joined. Okay. I just want us to do a little bit of a challenge. Now, the reality is that, I mean, by the grace of God, the church is very transient. There are people who come, they relocate and all that. But I want, especially those of us who are outside here, let's bow our heads. And please, everyone in the congregation, let us bow our heads. And think back. We're going to the next word now, which is... The next key from remembrance is repentance. Repentance. Repent just is literally saying to activate your thoughts. There are some things you need to bring to mind that has gone, that you have forgotten. And if you have forgotten, if you can't remember anything, just ask the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance. Bring to our remembrance. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Can you start thanking God? Because you are not where you were 10 years ago. Please, everybody. You are not where you were 10 years ago. Some of you joined. You came by yourself. You are not where you were 10 years ago. Giving the glory to God, not to the church, but to God, please. Very important. You are not where you were. If you look backwards, 10 years ago. 2009, this is not where you are. You are having a new challenge today because God has increased you. The challenge you are facing now, look at it closely, is because you have grown. It's because you have expanded. It's because there's been a change to the glory of God. Repent. We need to repent. Let us return to our first love in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because those of us standing out here, you know, as you're going back one after the other, can you remember why you came to this church? Can you remember why? Can you remember why you came? And then you remained. Can you remember why? Can you remember why you came and you're still here? Can you remember why? Please go back to your seats and hold that why at the back of your mind. Please celebrate these wonderful people. Please celebrate them. You can do better. God be the glory. God bless all of you that have been here 10 years and above, and you are still here. The good Lord will honor you, reward you abundantly. He has not forgotten your labors of love. God is saying to us, so key number one is remember. Please say remember. Key number two is repent. Please say repent. Now, your remembrance has to do with your why. I shared a story with those who are here on the Thursday Bible study. Why I decided to carry on with this missionary work when I first arrived in this country 16 years ago. My immediate decision was not to stay, not to remain in this country, because I looked at my immediate circumstances. I saw everything I was going to lose settling down here. I saw the price I was going to pay. It was when I went back to the Lord to pray, and I remembered, like I shared on Thursday, my wife simply asked me a question. If you want to go back, then we're ready to go back with you. Because then my wife had been here for a year previously. I'd not seen my wife and little Noah. I saw them last exactly 365 days before then, when I first landed in this country 16 years ago. And she said, well, if you want us to return, then we go back to our country of birth. Well, my own country of birth. My wife was born here, so you can stay here. Just joking. You can stay nowhere. Where I go, you go. Anyway, she told me we can go back, but remember why we came. Maybe one day my wife will share her story and her testimony of the story of her life and how God showed her a future even before it began to happen. How God showed her ahead of time that she was returning to the United Kingdom with her husband as a missionary. She didn't know who her husband was going to be. We had never met. But God spoke to her. She held on to the word of God. We met. How God showed her she was going to have two sons. How God showed her clearly the future. How God showed her some of the things we're experiencing today. She told me, remember why we came. I went back to pray, and that why is what has kept me in this country for 16 years. That why is what has kept us going as a church. That why is what has kept us making all the sacrifices, doing all the things we can, not to do with ourselves absolutely nothing. The why kept us going through the downs, the ups, through the attacks, through all the discouragements. The why kept us going. That why is still with us today. But let me tell us something about our first love. That word first love we see in Revelation chapter 2, that the Spirit of God was saying to the church that you have forsaken your first love. That love there is the word agapel or agape. But this one is really qualified this way. It's called brotherly love. Simply put, the love of God that God expects you and I as Christians and believers to express, to show, to practice to one another. That is the love that the Spirit of God was reminding the church to remember. Let me tell us, no matter how many miracles perhaps might have happened, and I'm telling you, in 14 years, we have seen awesome miracles in this church. God has done so many things. One thing we are always grateful for is that, number one, the word of God has never been scarce. God has always confirmed his word with signs following. God will tell us things before they happen and we see them happen. We've seen so many things happen. But one thing, in spite of all that, we can do all the works. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can prophesy all you want, I'm paraphrasing. You can give your body to be burned. You can do everything you want to do. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. John chapter 13, from verse 30 to 35. The brotherly love that God is stirring our remembrance and bringing us to the place of repentance today is described by Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 30. It says, John chapter 12, please. John chapter 13, not 12, from verse 34 to 35. Simply put, you don't need any revelation here. Just listen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And verse 35. By this will all know. If you look at the King James Version, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. The real test, the real attestation that you are a child of God, that you are a disciple of Jesus, is that you are walking in brotherly love. There is no point speaking in tongues, giving interpretation of tongues, prophesying and it's happening, and you're not walking in brotherly love. God says that one thing I will have against you. And God is calling us to that place and bringing us to that place of repentance, that we should examine our hearts. We know what it was like 14 years ago. Who cared about anybody? Who was bothered? We were just a family. A family where we gathered, prayed, heard the word of God, and we loved one another. To the glory of God, God is bringing us back to that place. We started examining how we do church since last year, October. And so many things God was pointing out to us, which we are adjusting, which we are doing. And right now, to the glory of God, we are ready to be the church that Jesus died for. Listen. I was in the bathroom today and the Holy Spirit was asking me a question. That how do you measure or how can you say that somebody is growing? A human being is growing. So yeah, you look at the physical features. Yeah, the nose has gone bigger. The limbs are stretching. Is this what you look like 10 years ago? Who's at the same height they were 10 years ago? Apart from me. Okay, let's go back. 20 years ago. Is this the same height you were? No. Are you getting me? So I said, that's how you measure that a human being is growing. And the Spirit of God started telling me, that is human parameter. Listen, I came out of the bathroom and I started behaving funny. My wife is laughing. I was shivering because it was cold. And I started making noises like a baby. And my wife said, what did you say again? Why are you behaving like a baby? Why are you behaving like... You said something like that, didn't you? Why am I behaving like a baby? And I said, you know, what you're saying now is what the Spirit of God was telling me in the bathroom. Because I was really, honestly, you don't want to see me. Thank God that she's only the one I'm married to who sees me. Because at times she would tell me things like, if people in Love Assembly will see the way you are behaving now. That's off record. Delete that. Okay. I am very human. Please tell somebody, I am very human. No, I thought you were saying he is, not he is you. I said, do you know what the Spirit of God was telling me? And I gave her the analogy. We see a child who was probably this small and then started growing. We're changing clothes, we're changing. So the child is growing. We will look at the child and say, this child is growing. But imagine the child is now 40 years old and is still behaving like a baby. Has that child grown? That's what the Spirit of God was telling me. That he looks at the heart. That is why strong emphasis to us as a church. Thank God for numbers of what uses if we are 500 and everybody's a kindergarten. Still in kindergarten, or people don't have love. People hate, people swear, people do everything, and we are not different from the world that God called us out from. Are we growing? So the Spirit of God was telling me the real measure of growth is how much our love towards one another is growing. Forget it. I've been in this church for X number of years. Excuse me. Do you love better than you were X years ago? Are you more patient? Are you more kind? Are you more Christ-like? Are you? That is what God is calling us. The place of repentance. And that brings me to the last R. The last key. The first key is what?
Remember.
Second key is? Repent. And the third key, return. It says return. You know where you have fallen from. Return to that place. You see, remembrance has got to do with you remembering your why. Why? If you find out that your marriage is on the rocks, you don't love your children anymore, please remember your why you have those children. Remember why you are disturbing that girl with texts, with letters, with everything, with apple, with flowers, years ago. Now you don't love her anymore. Remember why you are doing that and repent. She's your wife now. You know, at times, you know, the people we actually also underrate are our children. It would be foolhardy of me to be talking to these two boys the way I spoke to them 14 years ago. I know better now. They know better than I do, unless I want to deceive myself. Repentance has to do. Why is your why? Remember is why. Repentance is remember the why because of your that why. Why is the why? Think back. Repent. Change your thinking. And R is return. Return to your first love. Return to the why. Don't just return. Start carrying out the why. Practically. The things you used to do. But remember, it's not just the action. It's the heart behind the act. Why do we gather every Sunday? Why do we gather every Thursday? Is it to show new clothes? Is it to show that we've arrived? Or is it to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is bringing us back to who we are. Remember the three keys? Please say remember.
Remember.
Repent. Remember. Return. The prodigal son, he came to himself. He remembered the son of who he was. And he said, even if I can't be a son anymore, at least let me be a servant. But let me go back home. He returned. Time will fail us. I learned something from Jesus. They struggled believing Jesus so much. You can read the story in John chapter 10, verse 39 to 42. They were attacking Jesus left, right, and center. They didn't believe in him anymore. The Bible says Jesus returned back to Jordan where John first baptized. And there, the Bible said, many believed on him. You need to return. That is what the Spirit of God is saying. The prodigal son said, I will arise now and return. Who are we as a church? We are a spiritual family, a house of prayer of all nations, where disciples of Jesus Christ are raised and multiplying in grace, in love, and in fellowship. Who are we? We are a people, a family of God, growing and abounding in thanksgiving, fruitfulness, and multiple blessings. Final charge. Please write the scripture down. We'll talk about it another time. 1 Peter chapter 2. The whole of the chapter. Go and read it. It will help you to fully remember, to repent, and to return. Let's bow our heads. Let's just bow our heads. What has God said to you? Brethren, this is beyond the physical. God is talking about your heart. Don't confuse this message about and look at it on a physical level. Where is your heart right now? Where? Where on this earth is your heart? There are people here right now. Please, while the rest of us are reflecting, God is simply saying to somebody here, return to me with your whole heart. And to some people, God wants to start a new beginning with you. He wants you to start at the beginning. Our first love must be God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. I want to pray with you. You want to return with your whole heart to God. And I'm serious. We are seriously praying. Please, everybody, let's talk to God. Let's reflect. Some of us need to write some things down we are going to do so that you don't forget. But there are some people. God is saying, return to me with your whole heart. And I want to pray with you. It's just a simple prayer of agreement. And just to know you are serious, before God and before man and before God's angels, you want to invite God into your heart, Jesus. You want a new start so that your first love is God. You've been coming to church. It's not how long. You've been a Christian. It's not how long, but where's your heart? I want to pray with you. If you are serious about it, and I know I'm praying with somebody, just to know I am praying with somebody, without any shame, I'm not asking you to come out, but just raise up your hand where you are before I agree with you. This is serious business. You want to return to God with your whole heart. With your whole heart. This is a new year. If you're raising up your hand, please raise it very well. There's nothing. And please, I don't know why people are looking around. I will encourage you to mind your life and mind your business. If you're raising up your hand, please do. This is your life. Lord, thank you. I pray right now. Because if you are raising up your hand, just symbolic, put that hand on your heart. Lord, touch this heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I return to you with my whole heart. Come into my heart. I receive you today. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Transform me. Renew me. Refresh. Bring me to my first love, which is you. With your hand on your heart, Lord, I pray the transformation, the redemptive work you have begun right now, Lord, take over and change these hearts. Turn these hearts into a heart of flesh. Write on the tablets of this heart, this new heart, a new law. And more than anything, let your love, your overwhelming love, fill that heart right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.